as I was sitting there. And it's a picture, and it's an action point. It's a touch point where Jesus, it's a step of faith. But some of you need refreshing. I felt it all week, and I thought it was just me because I came back from Florida, and I just felt the Spirit of the Lord, and there's an excitement in my spirit, and I just knew that there's a shift going on, and it's going to continue to go on from this point. And then all of a sudden, right, 180-degree turn at the beginning of the week, and I didn't know why. I just felt drained. I felt a lack of energy, and no refreshment. I was just thinking about all the problems of the government and the world and the congregation and everything, and it just came on me like just this heaviness that comes to a lot of leaders or pastors and just all of us who are at work, and day after day we're doing some of the same things all the time, and I just don't. I vowed at that time that I was not going to go back into that, but I felt it, and I think I was really feeling it for some of you that are out here now, because that's how God works. Sometimes, and I've learned that a lot of times through my wife, she'll feel, you know, somebody will feel a pain in their shoulder, and I'll say, I never had that pain before, but it's because they're feeling someone else's pain that the Lord wants to minister to you with. So right now, if you need to be refreshed, what the Lord would say to you is that physically, when you go home, get in front of your sink, look at your face, and I'm serious when I say that because I'm just telling you what I'm sensing in my spirit. The Lord wants you to look at your face, and if it is indeed refreshing that you need, turn on that spigot of cold water, get your hands underneath it, and I don't care what you're wearing, throw that water into your face. I mean, just take that water and push it into your face, and then in the spirit, just get a sense for what that felt like. Just get a sense for what that shock or that wave or that feeling that just came on you at that moment in the natural. And that's what God wants to do in your spirit. That's what God wants to do. The same way, at the moment that you do that and you feel that cold, I'm telling you, it'll change your heart rate. It's going to change how you feel. If it's cold water and it comes at you, bodily, you're going to feel something. At that moment, go into the spirit realm and say, Jesus, I need a spiritual refreshing with what I just received physically. And then yield. And then look at your face in the mirror, and if that doesn't make you begin to laugh and be refreshed and do what you need to do, then do it again. What did Jesus do when the guy said, well, I can only see dimly? He put his hands on him again, and then he could see. Sometimes it takes more than one shot to get it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it takes more than just one prayer. Sometimes it takes more than one time doing something in order for the Lord to see that we're real serious about what we want. So if you need refreshing today, you don't have to come up here. You don't have to be ministered to. God wants to minister to you. What can we do, right? Can't do anything. It's not in us. It's in Him through us. And so you're just receiving that word. Take that physical refreshment and then get in the spirit and say, Lord, I need this in my spirit. And I am not going to let you go until you bless me with that joy of the Lord that's going to be my strength. And then just put some praise music on. Take that step of action, that faith action. And like I said, just begin to speak it out. I am refreshed. I am refreshed. Put praise and worship on. Do dance if you've never danced before. Make your feet move. But that refreshment will come as you inaugurate it, as you liberate it, as you allow Jesus to do it through you. It's not just going to come down like pennies from heaven. And that's what the Lord's speaking. So be refreshed. I really felt like tonight, as Bert brought it up in my office, you know, that depression, that loneliness, that weariness, that I'm exhausted from my work, I'm exhausted from that. You know what? It can stop with just one touch from Jesus. And my prayer right now in the name of Jesus that He touches you when you do that, when you go home and you do that act. Amen.
What do we do now? Hallelujah. God's good. I know the anointing shifted, or I could tell it, and I'm so glad you jumped in. I told you you were going to minister up here. Hallelujah. God is good. Could you stand on your feet if you would, please? You've been sitting for a while. Raise your right hand and say this after me. Thank God.
Thank God.
I'm a believer and not a doubter. The
Word of God
is alive in my spirit. It's alive in my soul.
It's alive in my body.
My faith is working
because
it's God's faith. And I'm walking in love. And His faith works by love. In Jesus' name. Greet two or three people and tell them the Word works when you work it. And I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah.
You know, there's a movie, I'm not even going to go into that, never mind. I failed to give an introduction to the speaker tonight. And so, in doing so, I've known Bert for many years, and he showed up at the back row in the back there one day and sat down, and I think he was trying to figure out whether or not he needed to park it there for a while or not, see what we were made out of, I guess, when he came, I immediately just felt a kindred spirit with him, and he'd been pastoring for quite a while in church, and I think he was just a little bit weary, kind of what we were dealing with tonight, and took him a little time, but that weariness left, and the joy of the Lord came in, and we have a program called the Inner Healing Program called For Your Health, and Bert went through that. I went through that. I've been through it about 10 times, but I saw a man change. I saw a man become a friend to a friend and began to minister more than I was as a pastor to the congregation and began to bring the word with excitement and bring the word of faith, which is what you're going to hear tonight. And I pray that you will receive this in faith, because the rest of this week, you're going to have to activate your faith. And I pray that tonight that message gets across into your heart. Because if you will activate your faith, I can promise you that through this week, it's been orchestrated by God, you're gonna get what you're asking God for if you're walking in the Word. As Bert just said, you got to work that Word. So I'm going to have Bert come up and preach this. But I really feel led in my spirit to read this for all of us. And this came from Brother Tim. Tim Koch sits right there, and this was before this ever got orchestrated to do this. God said that we're to be here this week. So whether you come back or not or whatever, that's up to you. God said for us in this little town of Landrum right now that this is a Kairos time, an opportune time to do this. And it came from a number of people. And this was from Tim, and this is what solidified it. This is what kind of just said, okay, Lord, you don't have to tell me again, you know, a sixth or seventh time. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, I'm anointing the congregation for the assignment I have given them. Do not be afraid or dismayed, says the Lord. I am with you, in you, and through all of you. Pastor's sermon on the anointing oil was deliberate and by my hand. Review it as a congregation. I am holy, and my will be accomplished, says the Lord. My word goes forth like a hammer, breaking the yoke of bondage by the power of the anointing. I am pouring fresh oil upon each and every one of you. Your job is to trust and believe in the anointing of God, which pours out from the anointed one. Just as it ran down the beard of Aaron, again, through his beard, all over his garments, Psalm 133, so shall my Holy Spirit oil soak each and every one of you. Say hallelujah. And that's what he said. Say hallelujah, okay? Receive it in my son's mighty name. You are set apart, says the Lord. The things of God are not a game or a passing fancy. My power is the power to change a person's life for eternity. It's not to be taken lightly. It's very serious business. You've been called into a work that has eternal consequences and is for my glory and your joy. I am going to perform works, healings, signs and wonders among you to increase your faith for the task at hand. Believe my word concerning these things, and you will see them come to pass. Call on me, and I will answer you. Cry out to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay your doubts down at my feet. Believe only. Do not live in your minds. Seek me diligently, says the Lord. Amen. And everybody said, amen.
All right. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? I would apologize for the lateness of the hour, but I won't, because I want to apologize for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So hang on. I appreciate good friends Dan and Sharon Tyner from the big town of Grambling being here. Dan and I met Dan a long time ago. I was standing in an event, and the lady asked me, where are you from? I said, Green Creek. She said, we got somebody here from Green Creek. I said, where? She said, turn around. He was right behind me. And God put a friendship there. It's been solidified between the four of us, and it's just a blessing to have y'all here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. I had another couple who was going to be here tonight, and she and I, but they didn't make it. Now, she and I grew up together in Gaffney. We grew up in elementary school together. We grew up in church together, and she wanted to come. They were hoping to be here, and if any of you have heard part of my testimony, this lady, this friend of mine, we were in class the same age, and she knew my mother. And my mother and I did not have the best relationship. My mother was a first lieutenant in the Army. My dad was a sergeant. Dad said she outranked me the rest of my life. But she was tough. But she put some good things in me. But Brenda, who was going to be here tonight, she could have affirmed what happened in my life, because she watched it. All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the years of prayer expectation that have gone forth here. We thank you for every person listening to today and this week, and the speakers will come afterwards. Father, we thank you for a clear path into your presence. We're already beginning to see that. We thank you. You order our steps. We thank you for your word, your spirit within us, your hand on us. And we thank you for that revelation knowledge that flows far beyond the words I speak into the hearts and lives of these, your people. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said in agreement.
Amen.
Now, I know this is supposed to be a list of international speakers. Well, we live in Tryon, and it's kind of like a foreign country sometimes. At least it's a mission field. If you have your Bibles with you, turn it, I'll tell you what, you can follow up here, especially the first scripture, Proverbs 15 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Very familiar passages of scripture tonight. Now, I'm not here to blow your hair back with revelation knowledge. If you don't have any hair, it wouldn't work anyway. But I'm not here to do that. That's not, somebody called me a foundation inspector years ago. That's kind of what I do. So we'll take some things you hopefully already know and just reinforce it and do a little check on it. Tonight, if we had one word we could call this, which I never give things titles very much, it would be surrender. Look at the person beside you and say, surrender. That word showed up in texts from politicians to me on my phone. It showed up on TV. It showed up everywhere for weeks. Surrender. So I finally said, okay, I'm getting the message here, God. Surrender. Proverbs 15:33 from the Passion Translation. Now, the word honor is used for glory, but let me tell you, in the King James, but look at this from the Passion. The source of revelation knowledge is found as you fall down in what?
Surrender.
Surrender before the Lord. Wow. Is that the rest of it? What about the rest of it? Thank you. Nope, wrong one. Let's go back. I'll just read it to you. Okay, let me just read it to you from the Passion. The source of revelation knowledge is found as you fall down in surrender before the Lord. Don't expect to see Shekinah glory until the Lord sees your sincere humility.
Amen.
That's pretty powerful. You're expecting the presence of God here, and God's expecting sincere humility. You're expecting revelation knowledge here. God is wanting you to surrender. Look at the person beside you and say, surrender. I'm believing for a third great awakening. Joanne and I have been to Red River Meeting House and Cane Ridge, and we've been praying on borders all over the place, And we're believing God for a revival. We're believing God for an awakening to occur in this country. And we're believing God for this area right here. When you stood on top of the brow up there and you look out and you pray for everybody that you can't see down there, but you know they are there, we're believing God for the Holy Spirit to move in this place. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, very familiar passage of Scripture. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How? By casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Notice that word humble. Everybody say humble.
Humble.
Humility. Now, that means to go low. Everybody say go low. That's the opposite of what the world wants you to do. The world wants you to go up, lift yourself up. No, God's kingdom is very different than the world's. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the world system. I'm just weary of it. I thank God for God's system. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the one I want to work in. That's the one I want to live in. The kingdom of God is within you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's there. It's inside of you. Hallelujah. We need to release it in here. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourself. Go low under the mighty hand of God. Casting or surrendering, I like to say, I'm throwing something off of me, surrendering, casting the whole of your care, all of your care, worry, anxiety, fear, frustration, and discouragement over on Him, over on who? Because He cares for you. Different word there. He loves you. But those words, all those cares, those anxieties, those frustrations, those fears, those discouragements, we cast them on Him. We surrender them to Him. Everybody say surrender. All right. So I want you to say this after me. Go low. Let go. See, surrendering is letting go of what is trying to hinder you in your life. The weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you. You know, there are different kinds of weight. We got a discussion about that this afternoon. The weight that tries to hold you back, and then the weightiness of God. Joy and I were started comparing experiences about the weightiness of God. It was pretty cool. All right, so everybody say, go low, let go, and go with the flow. See, that's receiving by faith. So I'm going low, I'm humbling myself. I'm letting go, I'm surrendering. And I'm going with the flow, I'm receiving by faith. Look at the person beside you and say, did you get that? Go low, let go, and go with the flow. Pride keeps us from receiving what God has for us. Pride does. Pride. And I was walking through the house the other day, and I was thinking about pride and how it's kept so many people, so many other people, from receiving from God. Not you folks, but other people. Not me, but other people. And I heard this voice, it spoke to me really loud, said, get off the throne and let Jesus do His job. What? Well, what's Jesus doing on the throne? He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's praying probably that our faith fail not. I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to be that. I don't want to take His place. Well, get the pride out of the way. If you and I are holding on to the cares of this world, we're prideful. We're holding on to what Jesus can only take care of. We can't take care of it. I had a lady look at me years ago, and she said, I said, have you cast the care of your husband over on Jesus? She said, yeah, but, oh boy, here we go. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. He just won't change. I said, you're in pride. I went, oh my gosh, why did I say that? She said, what? I said, you're in pride. You're thinking you're better than Jesus, that you can take care of it. Hello? See, we need to surrender to God's will, to His will, to His Word. Not what you think the Word says. Not what religion tells you, not what so-and-so said, not what Aunt Tutti Frutti believed. What does the Word say? I surrender to who I am in Christ by renewing my mind. Amen? Well, what the Word says, Psalms 46. Now, I didn't know I taught here 2 years ago, but I was here 2 years, 2022, and we talked about this. I told Joanne, I said, maybe I'll leave this one out. She said, well, do you remember what you ate 2 years ago? I said, no. Somebody asked Brother Hagin one time, says, how long are you going to keep teaching on faith? He said, till you get it. Surrender your anxiety. Oh, let's read it together. Ready? Read. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Some of you need to put that on your mirror. Hey, I put it on the windshield of my motorcycle and rode around looking at it for a week. So I'm getting there. I'm getting this. Well, I've surrendered my anxiety now. I got rid of the motorcycle. I got rid of my wife's anxiety. The King James says, be still and know that I'm God. How many of you ever heard that scripture or something like that before? Be still and know that I'm God. Very simple. But the reason we don't know God very well sometimes is because we're not still. We're just running around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The place with the Father. The place with the Father. I'm longing for you to be. For it's there we shall meet, and you shall see and understand me. You'll know that the fruit of our time together shall be very, very real. It'll be beyond what you think, beyond what you feel. Oh, I long for that presence. I long for your presence and the time with me, saith the Father, the time with me. For in that time, you shall be set free. Hallelujah. Joanne said, why do you rhyme it? I said, I don't do that. I don't know. She said, it sounds like Dr. Seuss. I said, I like Dr. Seuss. Surrender. Can you put that back up? Surrender, the Passion says. Or let go. Surrender your anxiety or doubt or sickness or whatever. You fill in the blank. Surrender. Let go. Everybody say, let go. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop talking the doubt. Speak the answer, the desired result, not the problem. Hello? Be silent. Get some duct tape. Put it over your mouth. Do whatever it takes. Stop your striving. There's that pride again. Stop your striving. That's humility. And you'll see that I am God. Everybody say, go low. Let go. There was a hump right there I keep hitting. Everybody say, go low. Let go. Go with the flow. Now, I'm married to a lady who used to be a children's minister for 40 years, so we got to have motions. Everybody stand up. You're getting too relaxed. Come on. Hallelujah. Go low. Let go. Go with the flow. Do it again. Go low. Let go. Go with the flow. You can be seated. I'm going low by humility. I'm letting go with surrender, and I'm going with the flow. I'm receiving it by faith, whatever God has for me. Surrender your life, your body, your finances, your bitterness, your any feelings, your future, your doubt, your pride, your will, your plan for your life. Just surrender it. Give it over to Him. Let go of it. And find out God's will. But I've heard people even think this and say this. I've never heard people think something. Why do I keep saying that tonight? Whatever happens when after I get saved must be God's will. No. No, 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 no. Whatever happens after you get saved, no. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you and I are perishing from a lack of knowledge if we think that way. Are you listening to me? See, faith brings the power of God on the scene. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to what you're hoping for. As Raymond T. Ritchie, one of my favorite healing evangelists. I wish there was more written about him. Brother Hagin used to talk about him a lot. It was amazing. I've seen pictures. This back in the 30s, 40s, whenever it was, they would have healing parades where they would have a big truck full of crutches and walkers and braces and all this stuff. And I don't know how long, going down through the town, advertising the crusade where people had been healed. Whew. And he said something like this. Don't quote me on it. He just said something like this. Faith is simply believing the Bible. That's what it says. We are called believers, aren't you? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm a believer, not a doubter. Okay, let's talk about faith in three areas, then we'll close, believe it or not. Well, you're a believer, so you ought to believe it. Yeah, I got faith. All right, good. There's no way we could discuss faith in one time. I remember at Nancy's house, we did 10 weeks, I think, on what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. It just seems forever, like, but there's just so much involved in it. Salvation. Salvation, first part. Everybody say surrender. When I was 13 years old, and that was a long time ago, I was witness to a water skiing accident in which someone died. And I was the only one in the area who could swim. I was the one who had to go recover the boat and the body. If you don't think For Your Health helped me, I'm telling you, it set me free of some things. During that chaotic, terrible situation for a little 13-year-old to see and to deal with and to swim through, God gave me a place in the boathouse where we stored the boat to get on one knee and pray. Humility. That's where I had to go low. I couldn't handle that in my life. 4 months later, in a Methodist church in Gaffney, I gave my heart to Jesus. I surrendered. And then I decided to go with the flow of what he had for me. I received it by faith. Romans chapter 10, if you would please. Very familiar passage of scripture. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If I had to pull faith into one scripture, this would be the one I would probably pick. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When it comes right down to it, I had to believe God. I wanted Jesus. I wanted to know where I was going to live after I died. Where are you going to be after you pass away? I know faith and patience and hear the promises. I know that faith works by love. I know you got to forgive. You got to stand on the word. I know all that. But it really comes down to it. What do I believe and what am I saying? I believe in my heart and I speak it with my mouth. Look at the person beside you and say, believe and speak. And the first thing that I got was, in my mind, you're not good enough. You sin. You're not saved. Anybody know who that guy is? The defeated one. That's what E.W. Kenyon called him, the defeated one. Defeated one. He's got no feet. He's defeated. Bad joke. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody say blah, blah, blah. That's what he sounds like. Blah, blah, blah. See, I was aware of sin. I was sin conscious instead of righteousness conscious. And I didn't know how to fight the good fight of faith. Now I will look back at him and say, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So get out. But I didn't know that then. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. I have to tell this on Pastor Scott. He called me and tried to get me to come and do this. And, of course, I've always been resistant. You don't believe that, do you? I've always been resistant to him. And he gave me the title, which I didn't go with that. He gave me what he wanted me to talk on, and he gave me this scripture. I thought, this is going to be so easy. Why don't you do it? It's been one of the hardest lessons I've ever had to put together. Ephesians 2, though, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through what? Through what? And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. In other words, there's no pride involved here. There's humility. You're saved through faith. The word salvation there, I'm no Hebrew or Greek scholar, but it's an all-encompassing word. It's not just I'm being saved so I can live forever in heaven with Jesus, but it's an all-encompassing word, meaning deliverance, safety, preservation, soundness and healing. Healing. Oh, I wish somebody had told me that. I wish somebody had told me when I got saved at that church that, hey, this includes healing. Number two, let's talk about healing. Everybody say surrender. I surrender that sickness to Jesus. I surrender it to God. So, after I got out of Bible school, I had warts on my hands. They were ugly. I played guitar. It would hurt when I played them. Play the guitar. They would hurt. They would do things. And I remember a picture one time I was covering my hands. I was embarrassed of them. I couldn't get rid of them. I tried things in the natural. Couldn't get rid of them. And finally one day I thought, oh my gosh, I just went to one of the premier faith schools in the nation. Why can't I do so? It's what I learned. So I started speaking to them. Somebody says, you're nuts. Well, that's fine. I don't care what you think. I started speaking to my hands. I started speaking to those ugly warts on my hands. And I said, you're gone off of me in the name of Jesus. That's enough of this. I'm not taking this. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You ever heard of that? For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever you saith. I've got news for you. You and I are having what we're saying, whether we like that verse or not. So we speak the desired result to the mountain. That's what Jesus was saying. What's the desired result? I don't want to hear the problem. God don't want to hear, I mean, God will love me. He's full of grace and mercy. But I think he'd much rather hear the desired result. So I started talking to him. I said, you're off of me in the name of Jesus. I didn't let anybody else see me do that, but I just thought, you're off of me. You're gone in Jesus' name. Do you know, I don't know when they left. I don't even remember. But the enemy came back and he said, blah, blah, blah. Everybody say, blah, blah, blah. You're not healed. You don't feel healed. The five physical senses. You don't feel healed. You don't look healed. During the time before they left, that's what he was telling me. You don't look healed. You don't sound healed. Heck, you don't even smell or taste healed. The five physical senses. That's what he wants to beat you down with. Well, I've got news for you. He's a liar. Praise stills the avenger. That's what we do in our house. We pull out the guitar and start praising God. He can't stand it, and I'm glad. There's another thing we do. We cast down imaginations. I want everybody to take your hand. I can't do it on this ear because I got this thing on here. I want you to take your flap of your ear and push it down and let it go. Push it down, let it go. Come on, Ted, you can do it. Push it down and let it go. And then I want you to do this. I want you to make a noise. We're going to add to it. Go. Ksh. Okay, let's put them together. One, two, three. Ksh. One more time. Ksh. You know what you're doing? Joanne told me you're flushing down imaginations. You're casting them down. Hallelujah. So I got to know what's going to happen the next 2 weeks in our house. We're going to be walking around going ksh at each other. Ksh. Look at the person beside you and say ksh. Casting down imagination, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. We're not going to turn there, but you know it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, flushing, casting down imaginations. Imaginations from the Amplified Classic, I believe it says, arguments, reasonings, and theories. Sense, knowledge, reasonings. Well, what do you mean, faith? I can't see it. I can't see. Well, you can't see God either, but if you're a Christian, you had to believe in him at some point. Hallelujah. I'm making those lies obey Christ. They're trying to capture me. Everybody say, go low. Let go. Go with the flow. Finally, the last point, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God. Number three, freedom. Salvation, healing, and freedom. We have lost a lot of hope in this world. There's a lot of hope been lost, a lot of challenges. Many people have lost hope. They've been disappointed. They've been discouraged. They've been oppressed, depressed. They've got prodigals out there. Hey, I was one. But I'm here to tell you that if you will not give up and use this verse right here, because my mama did. Therefore, I say unto you, Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Again, whatever things you desire, read it with me. Ready, read. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When do you believe that you receive them? When you pray. That's what it says. Then you shall have them or possess them. Well, my mama stood on the back porch with Frances Barrier, lady from Greensboro. I don't know if she's a Bible teacher or who she was. I remember seeing her. But I had long hair. I was doing drugs. I didn't care what she thought. See, for 2 years, I had tried to serve God from 13 to age 15. And for 6 years, I ran from God. I said, I don't want any part of this. But somewhere deep inside, I still knew that God loved me. You know what I mean? So my mother stood on the back porch with Frances Barrier, and she said, Eloise, how do you want to see Bert? And she told her, and she said, well, that's the way God wants to see him. We're going to believe God. And Mom tried to stand on this verse as best she could, and I tested her every inch of the way. And for 5 years, she stood on that word and kept believing God for me and believing God for me. And for 5 years, on the fifth year, New Year's Eve, two friends of mine and I decided to go down a river on a float trip in John boats. If you ever paddled a John boat, it's a flat bottom boat. It's the worst thing to try to ever paddle. And I was in the boat by myself down the Little PD River. Anybody know where that is? South Carolina, lower South Carolina. And we're out there, and we're going to camp out on New Year's Eve. Oh, my gosh. I was in a dark place, people. I was in such a dark place. Running from God. Trying to find relief. Couldn't find it. We camped out. It was cold as could be. The next morning was freezing. Temperature had dropped. We didn't have GPS. We didn't have a phone, cell phones. We didn't have that. We just went. We were in college, and we said, we're going to go. Let's go. Let's go. So we went down that river, and it got cold, and then it started drizzling. Then it started sleeting. Then it started snowing lightly. And we're going around every turn and turn of that river. We had parked one car at a road up here. I looked on the map recently to see what it looked like. One car this road, one car this road, and there was only one bridge going through there, and that's Gallivant's Ferry. You know where that is? You ever heard of Gallivant's Ferry? There's a store there and a bridge and a boat landing. And we said, if we can just get to that boat landing, we can get out of here and try to hitchhike back. It's New Year's Day in the middle of nowhere. Well, we finally got there, got out, and two of us got out to hitchhike, and one stayed with the boats, and we're standing up there freezing, shaking, thinking, oh, we got to get out of here. We're desperate. We waited and waited, nothing. We finally looked at each other and said, maybe we ought to pray. Now, we're so far out of fellowship with God, would he even hear us? But we prayed, and we waited, and we waited, and off in the distance was this car. It was the most beautiful car I've ever seen in my life. It came rattling and chugging up there and pulled over. And this guy lowered down his window and says, what you boys doing out here? We explained that all to him. He said, get in the car. I'll take you to one of your cars. We said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Oh, man, you know, we were desperate. We looked terrible. My hair was longer than yours. We were just, it was just like, you know, we were hung over and drugged out and everything else. We stepped in the back of, you wouldn't believe that about me now. That old man died. But anyway, we got in the back of that car, and I jumped in, and this little kid was in the front seat, and he was looking over the back seat like Kilroy was here. Gotta be old, I don't know what that means. And he was looking over the seat like this, and I can still see him today, his big brown eyes, and he was looking at us, and that car was just shaking and rattling, and I got in there, and all of a sudden I realized I heard something. It was a Pentecostal preacher on the radio hollering as loud as he could about going to hell and Jesus, you need Jesus. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, Mama's praying. Mama's at home praying, Mark 11:24. I didn't know what it was then, but I knew she was praying. And we're sitting there, and he's hollering, this guy's hollering, distorting the radio. And I said, sir, I said, thank you for picking us up. You're an answer to prayer. He turned around with me, this toothless grin, and looked at me, and he said, God answers prayer, don't he? Why don't you look at two people and say, God answers prayer, don't he? You telling me I remember all that, all those years? Yes, that was humility. I had to go low. 11 months later, 11 months. My mother still believing. Mark 11:24. She's still rejoicing because by thanking God, by acting on her faith, and I'm still testing her every which of the way. She looked at me one time and she said, "Why do you treat me like this? Why do you talk like this?" I said, "God's testing you and He's letting me do it." I didn't know. I wanted to say, "You're failing," but I didn't say that. 11 months later, I'm in a hotel room, and a presence came in the room and pinned me to the bed because I was still hungry for God. I was in such a dilemma. Joanne had a similar experience. We could start comparing notes again. She was, maybe I'll let you tell that sometime, but she was kneeling down, and a light came and hit her in the forehead and knocked her down and pinned her on the floor. The presence of God. And I surrendered. The next morning I got up. We were in Athens, Greece on a trip with the 700 Club. My parents had bribed me into going with the 700 Club to go take pictures. I was into photography. They said, we'll buy your film and we'll process it for you. I thought, hey, that's a deal. I'll maybe sell a couple of prints off of this. You know, I was into photography. And got up the next morning. I was sick. I wasn't feeling good, but something had happened the night before. I won't even go into that detail. I'm sitting down in a hotel lobby in Athens, Greece, and a little black lady on the tour walked over and looked at me, and she got behind me and laid hands on my shoulders. I thought, "What are you doing?" And she left, and she walked back and talked to my mama. And you know, I found out later, she said, "Is your son filled with the Holy Ghost?" And mom said, "No." She said, "Do you think it'd be okay if I prayed for him?" Mom said, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Since you've been standing on Mark 11:24. And that little lady comes over, she was a pastor's wife, and she said, now back in those days, she said, "You know, here I'm a black lady, a white guy, maybe I shouldn't be doing this." She got on her knees, laid hands on me, and grabbed my ankles and started praying, and the power of God shot up my legs all the way up to my throat, and I thought I was going to, I started talking in tongues right there, and I thought I was going to say, "Yogi Bear." But it came out something totally different. And I was just loud about it. I thought, "Oh my gosh, I've been set free. I've been set free from all this stuff." And I started praising God. And we were in Athens, Greece. It was all Greek to me, and the Greeks around me didn't even understand it. So I'm telling you all that to say this. If you're believing God in your life to be set free, like we've prayed for some of you tonight, don't give up. If you're believing God for a prodigal, God's working behind the scenes. He's working behind the scenes for you and for you and for you and for you, for everybody in here. He's working behind the scenes. Let the word work. Let it work. Well, I don't have to preach the last page because we did that first. Hallelujah. So I said, "Thank God." Let go. Yeah, remember, excuse me. Go low. Let go.
Let go.
Go with the flow. That's what God wants you to do this week. Let's pray. Let's pray before we go tonight. Let's pray about next week, about this week. But first of all, on every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would please. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you can. Maybe you got out of fellowship like I did. You just need to recommit your life. God loves you. He cares for you. If you've never prayed that prayer, pray a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you were to die tonight, my mother used to ask people this, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? Where would you go? If you don't know, you can be sure by praying a very basic prayer, and God will meet you. If you're here tonight and you've never prayed that prayer, but you want to make sure you're going to heaven when this life is over, would you put your hand up real high? Anybody at all? You've never prayed that prayer. How about if you're here tonight and you've prayed the prayer or you whatever, you are a Christian, but you've gotten away from God. You've gotten out of fellowship with God. Just like I did. But people have been praying for you. And you know you need to come back into fellowship with God. Anybody here like that? You're just not as close to him as you'd like to be. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? Okay. Everybody look at me. I realize that most of you here tonight are probably believers, or maybe you're just not quite ready to make that commitment. That's cool. God will work with you in His own time. I want us to pray for the remainder of this week and for the speaker, Selman, who's coming in tomorrow night, and others who will be here. Let's pray that the power of God will become resident in this place and that the life of God will be transmitted. Did you hear that? The life of God will be transmitted. The life of God will be transmitted. Father God, we pray right now for the remainder of this week. Lord, we've just tried to check some foundations tonight to make sure we're working with what You desire us to be. And we thank You, Father God, that we will expect by faith the remainder of this time for healings, for the supernatural to take place, for salvations, for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for deliverance. That tonight, Father God, we lift each speaker up to You and each person up to You. And we thank You for all those working to make this possible this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this? God's good, isn't He? Hallelujah.
Appreciate you guys hanging out here tonight, and Bert for his message that he brought on faith for the foundation for the remainder of the week. We've decided that we're not going to take any offerings this week. We're just not going to do it. You know, this is something that, not going to be any kind of burdens put on you guys. Some of you, though, are going to say, oh, I'm compelled and I want to give. If you do, then just leave your, I don't know what they did with their offering, but you can leave your offering up on the altar and guys will get it. But we're not asking you to give unless you are compelled. If you do, just make your checks out to CFCF. It's real easy, CFCF. But again, we're not going to do that this week. So we feel like this is this church's time to sow into just the community, you know, the area, and the pastors that are here. And so I know you said that, you know, we weren't going to be able to bless you, but you know what? I have faith that you will receive when you are being given, right? So there you go. He's got to eat his own words right there and do that. For the rest of you, Salman Hassan from Iraq will be here tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All I can tell you is brace yourself. Tonight was awesome, and Salman is going to be just as good. And then Moses Cow will be here Thursday and Friday from Vietnam. And then it's going to wind up at the end of the week with Joey Turner and Winston. And those guys, I don't know what's going to happen. They may be hanging from the flags up on top of the ceiling by the end of the night. They go down to South America and Central America, and they just, the Central Americans and the South America, they know how to praise and worship. And they're hungry for God, and they expect, and they just know that God's going to show up. And I've just only been down to one time to Guatemala there, and the place was packed and the altar was packed and the people were just full and they just wanted more and more of God. I don't know about you, but we're in a time and a season where I just want more and more Him. Not us, not anything we can do, but more Him. So thank you for being here tonight. I pray you can come for the whole week. I'm going to come. I'm not even part of it. So if you think, oh, God, Pastor Scott may preach, I'm not going to come. He's long-winded or whatever. I'm not in it. I'm just sitting in the front row taking notes, and I appreciate it tonight because I got a lot out of tonight. Just the spontaneity. I don't know how about the rest of you, but just the spontaneity of God being able to speak through you and just listen, because God doesn't speak this weird between either one of us, you know, without being real, because He wouldn't say those things in the normal. So I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. Father, thank You for these that have come tonight. I pray that they'll come back and they'll get more and more of You, God. And most of all, Father, for salvation, healing, and deliverance. If not for those that are here tonight, for those that they'll bring or those that will come through those double doors, because there's nothing like being in the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord, and we give You all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Please be careful as you leave here tonight, and God bless you.